The WBEN All Local.
All Local.
A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Masurowski.
School budget votes passed overwhelmingly in Western New York yesterday, with a few exceptions. Budgets failed in Grand Island, Lindenville, Randolph, and West Valley. Districts have two options. They can either put the same budget or a revised budget up for a second vote, or immediately adopt a contingency budget. This year also saw fewer candidates running for school boards across the region. There were only 11 contested school board elections in Erie and Niagara counties out of 38 school districts.
Well, Buffalo's bonding battle not over yet. City Comptroller Barbara Miller-Williams filing an appeal with New York's highest court in her fight over borrowing for capital projects. This despite two lower court rulings against her. Miller-Williams has refused to borrow $110 million for capital projects approved in 2024, $95 million that was approved last year. She did borrow $29 million last year. The comptroller maintains that she has the power to set the debt cap over any objections from the Buffalo Common Council. City officials argue that the delayed projects are just costing the city more money. The Middle Main paving project that started this week said to be costing $16 million more this year because costs have risen 25%.
Sabres players began to clean out lockers after the season came to an end. Among those speaking yesterday was Zach Benson.
It sucks that it's over, for sure. I mean, you know, it's going to suck not being able to come to the rink tomorrow and see your brothers and, you know, compete for the end goal, which is the Stanley Cup. So, obviously, there's a lot to be proud of, but, you know, it still hurts, and I think it's going to hurt for a while.
And Josh Doan, who also became a fan favorite in his first year in Buffalo.
You got a lot of people that you've gotten close to that there's a chance that not everyone's back. Obviously, that's the reality of professional sports. Is we're in a position where we're pretty fortunate to have as much depth as we have, and a lot of guys and young guys coming up, and that's one of the strengths of our group. But like you said, it's there's a lot of what ifs heading now into the off season that as a group you can kind of push away when you're playing, and one second later it's the season's over, and now those questions are glaring in your face, and you got a lot of friends and people that you've grown with this year that, yeah, like you said, there's no team is ever the exact same the next year. So that's the harsh reality of sports.
There are a lot of what ifs now. Maybe we'll get some of those questions answered later on today.
It should be interesting. We'll hear from Lindy Ruff, Sabres GM Jarmo Kekalainen, and Alex Tuch, who is, you know, it's kind of in the spotlight.
Very big focus
now that
on
the
him.
Season is over, unfortunately. Bills players returning to the practice field this week. And not far away, demolition of the Ralph is well underway. WBEN's Jim Fink said there's no shortage of people trying to see it for one last time.
Amy Rushford and Tim McAvoy pulled into the Bills store Abbott Road parking lot, having driven down the New York State Thruway from their native Rochester. So why did the couple make the trek to Orchard Park on a warm weekday morning? To catch, perhaps, one last glimpse of, quote, old Highmark Stadium that is being razed. Both Tim and Amy are huge Bills fans. And yes, it was a bit of a sentimental journey, Tim admits.
It kind of hurts my feelings. It's sad to see just because there's a lot of memories in this stadium. It's come a lot further down than I anticipated than what I've seen on social media. There's a lot of it down. And usually this is where I park every year when I come here. And there's a big wall up there and, you know, an end zone, and it's gone.
With demolition underway, and it began earlier this month, and according to contractor Breeze National, work is running slightly ahead of schedule. So both Tim and Amy said they had to make at least one more trip to Abbott Road. And Amy, she's also a fan of the new stadium too.
This is now a whole new world happening over here, and it's gorgeous.
This is Jim Fink for WBEN.com News.
Catching a lot of people, you know.
I think if you haven't been there in a month or so, you drive by and it's kind of like, wow.
It is wow.
Yeah, you know it's going to happen, but it's still, when you see it, yeah. kind of catches you by surprise, right. you know, takes you off guard a little bit. I am still amazed, and I cannot get over the amount of things still in that stadium. I mean, if you knew, and
like
we all knew.
Signs and things that are just still there.
Seats that are still there that weren't put up for sale.
I agree. Some of them may be broken, but not as many as you see.
Even so, I mean, I was just kind of assuming that everything would be put out for auction because people would eventually buy it. They obviously know what they're doing. They know their business. They, you know, they're going to charge $600 for a seat and, you know, not take all of them. Okay, that's, they know far better than I do what's going to make them money. But you would have thought, like, if I had told you that not only would the Wall of Fame names be left there, but also the retired number, you know, the 34, the 78, the 12 for Thomas and Bruce and Jim Kelly, they're still there. Like those numbers that are different than all the other numbers on the Wall of Fame.
Right.
I saw a picture. They were still up there. If I were to told you that would be left behind, you'd been like, no way.
Shocked. You'd be shocked.
But they're still, I'm really surprised by all that.
Me too.
I mean, even the Wall of Fame number, you're going to have a hard time putting a giant name in
but
your living room.
Think
but the number.
Some place in Western New York could use that, and it'd be great to have it.
Somebody would want it. I mean, even they're building the Ralph Wilson the park, the old LaSalle Park.
Bring some of it there.
Could you imagine, you know, the Ralph Wilson name from the Wall of Fame on a wall, you know, in the park somewhere that people would go and see and, you know, could be part of the landscaping that they're doing? I don't know. Again, I'm not the expert. I'm just, you know, amazed that
we're
so much is left behind.
What's going on or what isn't going on.
It is kind of wild.
President Trump says he called off an attack on Iran amid serious negotiations to end the war.
Vice President J.D. Vance telling reporters that there is one item that is just not negotiable, and that is allowing Iran access to a nuclear weapon.
If you have every country in the world scrambling to try to get a nuclear weapon, it would make us all much less safe.
So Iran is reportedly asking for a laundry list of concessions, including lifting of sanctions on Tehran, releasing of frozen funds, an end to the U.S. naval blockade in the Strait of Hormuz, ending the war on all fronts, which includes Lebanon, and reparations to cover the destruction caused by the war.
Strait of Hormuz, meanwhile, remains closed.
Unbelievable. In New York City, Midtown Manhattan, a woman killed after opening her car door, stepping out into an open manhole.
The horrific scene in Midtown Manhattan where a 56-year-old mother and grandmother fell to her death through an uncovered manhole. Donna K. Gosage parked her Mercedes SUV in front of Cartier and atop the open manhole, stepping from the car and dropping 10 feet.
As soon as she stepped out, it's like she took one step forward and just disappeared.
The medical examiner's office is still investigating the woman's death, but police said when she fell through the hole, she went into cardiac arrest from the intense steam heat.
That's just unbelievable.
It's an unbelievable story. It's scary. It's wild. And then you hear some of those details of the steam and everything else. It's Aaron Katursky reporting just...
I hope
crazy
she,
and terrible.
I hope it just was fast and she had no idea what...
It does not sound like it. Just from all the eyewitness and the reporting that you hear, it is... they're looking into how this happened. I have no idea, but to think about that, you could just walk out of your car and fall into a manhole. Unbelievable.
Your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast. Some clouds, a few showers this morning. Partly sunny this afternoon with temperatures near 60. Tonight, partly cloudy and cool. Overnight lows falling into the 40s. On Thursday, partly sunny skies with highs in the upper 50s. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Minkowski.
David Albert with the New York State School Board Association is on the Bison Automotive Live Line this morning. And David, good morning. We're looking at budget voting, school board elections that were held across the state yesterday. And, you know, around here, we're seeing that most budgets passed, but there were some exceptions. I mean, overall, in the big picture, what are you seeing?
So when we look at kind of statewide results, and we're still, you know, looking at them, they're coming in, it's still early, but basically we see in the upper 90% passage rate for districts. So typically it's around 98, 99% passage rate. And I think we're tracking right at about that level. When you go to the budget overrides, there are the tax cap overrides, districts that need to get 60% of voters to approve their budget because they're attempting to override their tax cap. Typically, that has dropped down to about a 67% passage rate. So we're still tracking that. But overall, if you're just looking for a simple majority and you don't need to override the tax cap, most of those districts are going to pass. It's going to be a 99% in that range.
Well, I'm looking around at Western New York, and there's so many districts that had trouble filling some of these school board seats. Only 11 contested school board elections across Erie and Niagara counties. 6 districts where they just did not have enough people running to fill all the school board seats. Is this a problem across the state or a trend that you've been noticing?
So I would say every year it's fairly consistent that we tend to see a couple of dozen or so districts where there are just not enough candidates running for open seats. And we also see districts where there may be one or two candidates running, but there are 3 or 4 seats open. So it is something that we track every year. We do see it, you know, as problematic, of course, because we do need people to serve on school boards. But I would say, you know, again, every year, 1 or 2 dozen districts are going to have no candidates. Maybe 3 or 4 dozen are going to have not enough candidates. So it is concerning for us because when you think about a school board, it's really closest to the community. It's grassroots democracy at its most fundamental level.
Yeah. And why, David, do you think that there is, I guess, for lack of a word, a lack of interest in this?
So that's a great question. And I would cite a couple reasons. I think the first is it's a tough job. There's time commitment. You have to go to board meetings, committees, school events. You have to make difficult decisions, budget cuts. You may have to close a school building. You have to make decisions about hiring and firing superintendent. And these are voluntary positions for the vast majority of districts. So I think we do have to give a shout out to those who do volunteer, give their time and talents, and really expect nothing in return other than serving their communities. But it is a difficult position. And I would have to say that if you look back over the last 6 years, really since 2020, and I don't know whether it's coincidental or not, but if you go back to the pandemic, we've noticed that more and more incumbent school board members are deciding not to run for reelection. So if you go back prior to the pandemic, maybe about 25% of school board members who were up for reelection would say, you know, I think I'm going to retire. I've done my service and it's time to move on. Now we're seeing it more like 31, 32, 33%. So we're going from about a quarter of incumbents to a third of incumbents who have decided not to run for reelection. So that is something that's kind of been pretty steady since 2020.
What changed in the pandemic to make people kind of go, well, I don't know if this is for me?
So I think that a couple of things. I mean, first of all, in some districts, it was a difficult time. There was a lot of controversy. If you remember back in that period of time, there were concerns, you know, about remote learning, concerns about mask wearing, you know, all of that. And I think also people reevaluated, you know, kind of their lives. And there was a time where I think a lot of people thought, you know, this is a very difficult job, and you know, it's something that requires a lot of time. I think what we've tried to do is to educate people that, you know, it's not like that anymore. I mean, those days are gone, and I think it's important for people to look at school board service as really a commitment to their communities.
You know, the other thing you have to look at after these elections is that when you go back and take a broad look, only about 3 or 4% of district voters even turn out to cast a ballot.
Yeah, and that is a concern as well. That's historically been the case for budget votes and board elections. And we've tracked, you know, maybe around 10% or so. So I haven't seen numbers yet from this year. But if you look at the registered voters, you know, maybe 10% are coming out. And unfortunately, you know, we'd like to see that, of course, get higher. It is unfortunate that there's not a lot of folks going out. I think in many cases, since we've had a tax cap in place, most districts have stayed within their caps, and that has tended to drive down people coming out to the polls. I mean, in the past, people may have said,
oh, you know, there's going to be a big tax increase. You know, we have concerns about that. They may have showed up. But now we have a situation where most districts are going to be within their cap. Tax levy increases are minimal in most cases. And so that could be a driver, because we have seen since 2012, when the tax cap was implemented, we have seen a reduction in voter turnout.
Okay. Well, all interesting stuff. And we thank you for breaking it down for us, David. Thanks so much. David Albert is with the New York State School Board Association.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.